Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And now, here with today's program is David Holtz.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be, and when you are listening to this broadcast, whatever time you're listening to it. We want to welcome you today to Science, Sound, and Spirituality. You know, there was a great quote by Einstein that said that science without religion is blind, and religion without science is deaf. And I am so excited that on this broadcast that we are able to bring together spirit and science, as well as sound. But spirit and science coming together is so exciting to me because I believe that they were meant to be together all along. And then we finally begin to move into reductionism, and we begin to move everything into its box neatly, and this from that, and that from this. And I believe we're living in a great time in which we're seeing so many systems integrating into a greater synergy, a greater system that is greater than the sum of all of its parts. And that is what we want to address through this podcast. I am David Holtz. I am your announcer today, or your host. And we're so excited to have a guest with us on this podcast today, Miss Barbara Rolfe. We are coming live today from the beautiful city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Most of you will probably pick this up later in the archives, but you that are listening to us live, we want to welcome you to this live broadcast today. Well, Barbara, we're so glad to have you on the podcast today. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, David. It's interesting.
Yes, interesting. I like that. You know, the old Chinese curse, well, you live in interesting times. That we certainly do.
Yes, we do.
Let me tell you a little bit about Barbara. Barbara has an avocation of over 30 years of being a student of science and art of energy healing. I really like that. And ageless wisdom. She says the golden thread of wisdom that runs through the philosophy of the religions of the world are important to her, and how that we find that thread that pulls all this together. I was so moved, as I'm sure many of you were, this weekend when we looked at all the different religions behind Pope Francis and all of them getting up and speaking two by two. And it gave us a new sense of hope that there is a possibility that we can find common ground and come together rather than to be part of 12,000 years of old reductionism, and come together into this wonderful new vision that I believe is coming through so many people. More and more people are catching the vision, and through the vision are moving into action. And that's the whole thing to vision. Vision into action. Barbara also is a certified practitioner of healing touch, and has been a practitioner of esoteric healing. And so many things here. My goodness, Barbara, you have done a lot of things. You are a true visionary and a true student of Earth 101 school. And I love that. I love visionaries, but I love educators, because I think that's what we need most of all, is to be empowered with information, and not just old recycled information, but information that is coming in clearly from higher dimensions, such as the higher fifth dimension. So we are so glad to have you here. I understand you just got back into Charlotte from Washington, D.C., where you attended the Wisdom Gathering Conference. And I want you to tell us about that, because so much was going, going on this weekend?
Actually, it began with pre-conference activities around the city of Washington, D.C., more toward the beginning of last week.
All right.
The actual registration and conference beginning didn't really get underway fully until like Thursday evening of last week, and went through Monday, till noon.
Great. Well, tell us about wisdom gathering. I love wisdom because I think we have enough knowledge. You know, we all are trying to read 5 or 6 books, and we all are going to workshops, and we got a lot of knowledge. We sound really smart spiritually, but I think what's lacking is the wisdom to do what to do with this knowledge and how to build it into a new construct, a new point of view. So tell us about this conference, and I know you're excited to have been there. I can tell.
It's always wonderful when you're with a group, not just of people of like mind, but of like purpose. And that purpose goes across every field of human endeavor. So you have people from all different stratospheres, you might say, of human endeavor that come. These are people who are focused meditators. They understand the need for meditation and what it truly is. And it takes me back in this focus that we did in D.C. with its theme of synthesis and government, but really to purpose of groups who are meditating in action around the world today at this time when we see such chaos within our political and economic systems. And there is such a great need and such an important opportunity, not just what we learned that is transpiring energetically for this nation over the next year, tremendous opportunity for huge shifts and huge changes if we as voting public, as meditating public, as those who are praying and having these conversations with God, and those listening in how they take love and action out, how do we anchor it?
That's exciting. I want us to talk a little about meditation, because, you know, that's a word that's been around for the last couple of 3 decades. I remember with Shirley MacLaine and the book. And then I ran and took transcendental meditation. And it's kind of a word now we've become comfortable with in this culture. But I think it really is something that people need to maybe understand a little better as to how it plays as one of the more important tools toward our transformation as a species as we're moving into this new place. So tell me about meditation and what that is to you.
Well, based on the ageless wisdom, as we talked about, those traditions, those strands and streams of wisdom that have come down through the ages from so many traditions, not just the religious traditions, but through science, through all of these avenues where we grow and expand in our ability to tune in at those higher frequencies, so to speak. We have two approaches, really, to God, and they are both important and valid. Prayer is that God transcendent in which we reach out and we talk to God. And then we have meditation, which is really dealing with God immanent, in which we are listening and awaiting in receptivity to what we're receiving. Then we are taking that. There are 3 real important principles of what meditation is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that registration as we're listening. Then using the intuitive, we may get down to the analytical mind and the critical thinking, but it begins with what flows in naturally in that interpretation. And here comes the most important part that we really have as humanity as part of our most essential purpose, and that's application. And since you mentioned my healing work and the years of continuing as a student always, that never ends, and continuing to grow in my experience as I treat people, both hands-on and distance work, my work really transpired into planetary healing, and I see all these avenues of need in healing our planet. And there is a process in healing, in which your alignment and you direct it through what is called the ajna, not the third eye, but that point of focus. And in the ageless wisdom, it is said that all of us as light workers, the new group of world servers on every path, it doesn't mean if people are consciously saying, I'm on a spiritual path, but everybody of goodwill who can receive that at any place, who are the working on the ground, you know, the force on the ground, in the trenches, doing that which is needed to create the common good and welfare of all of humanity. That has been described, that whole body, as the planetary Ajna. So as we receive through spirit that impression, and we register that, and it comes through the heart, then it gets directed through the Ajna. So that gave me a real understanding as to what group work was, what all of us as light workers helping to make this shift in this great opportunity have. We are directing and channeling energy as application to uplift all of humanity for the transformation of all life on this planet.
Oh my, that's a mouthful. That is so good. I too share that vision that we're on the threshold of a complete leap into a whole different universe, a whole different dimension of what it means to be human. I find it so sad that we have been bought into the stories that we're the ultimate creation of a creator, and yet we are not at all aware of all the potential and possibility. We use so little of our possibilities. 3% of our genetic material, less than 10% of our consciousness and mind abilities. And there's so much within us to be awakened. And I love this term light workers because I don't know what else to call it. I'm not big into a lot of labels, but I like light worker because I think we're working with light. And light is photon light, which is something that is beyond our dimension. We call it fifth dimensional photon information. So I love this idea of you talking the way you are and the terminology that you're using. So what did you bring from the conference that you as an individual and then you as a part of a collective light worker group?
Hope.
Hope. Well, we need hope.
I think with every conference that I attend or I'm a representative of, in this group work of being transmitters, channels of light into the planet to help with that upliftment. And again, those light workers on the ground at whatever level that they can receive are going to take that light because light has all the solutions. And that's a key here. Light has all the solutions. And as we touch that at whatever level, we can take that and respond and apply it in the best way according to the field we're working in, the culture we're working in. So again, we come back to how do we get there? How do we get more receptive? And we come back to meditation. It starts with us, and it starts with our practice. And side benefits that are effects that are often given as meditation or purpose of meditation, the side benefits, of course, are that relaxation, that heart-brain connection. All of that occurs as an effect. But the purpose of meditation, why we meditation, is to serve.
Yes.
Is to serve divine purpose.
I was watching a TED talk the other day. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. So don't go away because there's so much more that I know you want to hear about Barbara's experiences and her vision on what we all can do to be a part of helping to transform our whole planet into a beautiful planet of light and peace. So we'll be right back.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century. Utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
Hi, welcome back to Science, Sound, and Spirituality. I'm David Holtz, your host today, and we have in the studio with us Barbara Rolfe, a wonderful visionary and educator who is very involved and very passionate about being part of what is taking place on this planet to call forth a people, light workers, we like to call them, who are, as she says, in the trenches. I like that. There's so much of us that have been very passive spiritually. We thought it's all going within and meditation that way. But as we are finding out that all of this work, inward work, is beginning to move us into action. And Barbara, I think that's where we are now, is bringing all of these wonderful esoteric principles, values, and things that we've talked about and we've meditated about into action in the sense of bringing it, as you say, from the heart. So that means probably in love, because when I think of the heart, I think of the power of love.
David, I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm glad you brought up that subject of love and what's happening in the world. Because people often think of love in the context of emotions and feelings. And we do have feelings, and they're important in the higher principles. But love really is threefold. Love is that consciousness which includes the will, divine will and purpose. It is pure reasoning will, and pure reasoning love is wisdom. And a part of that, it's the action part, that trinity, is creative intelligence. So I look at that, it's synthetic, it's not separative, it's the whole of what love is. And that's why love is action. It is all of divine creation from that initiating sound. Love makes it all happen. And when we are doing this work and we are touching that and we take this out in action, as you said, for so long, the emphasis has been in the prior age, which was called the Piscean Age. And now we're moving into, we're beyond the cusp now, and we are into the Aquarian Age. So we have gone from learning to go upward, to touch soul, to touch those higher realms, to now bring it down. Our purpose is to work in group and to spiritualize manner. And we can't do that unless we anchor it on this planet. And in order to do that, in the wisdom they talk about, that it's essential in this age that we know each other, that we get to know each other, that we work together, that we honor and respect each other's paths, but we bring it back into intergroup work and purpose of actualizing it here. And we do that through love. We don't do it through criticism and breaking down, although breakdown will happen as a natural process of bringing all of this chaos and darkness into the light. It's so that it can be dispelled. And that's what we're doing by bringing in more light. The higher energy, the higher vibration, coming back to sound, is what is going to dissolve and dissipate those darker energies, because they cannot exist in the light.
That's great. So, you know, the laws of dynamics are that we cannot destroy energy, but we can change the pattern of energy. So we're kind of using consciousness now with this new light information coming into consciousness, which is raising our consciousness to a new frequency. And that frequency, we know, patterns are world of the physical world, the world of matter. We call it cymatics. It's an ancient science that was started back in Germany in the 19th century and finally became popular through Hans Jenny, of being able to put flour or something on a plate and take a bow, a violin bow, and it makes a pattern. So this is where sound plays such a powerful point into that. But behind all of this is always intention. Intention. I don't care what sound, I don't care what wisdom or knowledge you're teaching, it has to come from the place of intention, which brings us back to the heart and back to because we love our planet and we love each other. And that raises above all of the judgmental type of thinking. And you know what? We live in that kind of climate. I've never seen a time that our country is so divided against each other. And I think this would be the perfect time for, out of all of that that's going on today in our world politically and through other systems of the world, is this wonderful manifestation of a corporate light radiating into this time of all of this, to emerge into a place in which we can see a shift take place. I like the word shift. We need a shift to take place in that. I was looking at your bio here, and it so many good things. It said that you served on something called the board directors of CVL.
CVL is the Center for Visionary Leadership.
Wow.
Which really seeks to stimulate the higher receptivity so that people become aware of the leadership qualities in each of us, because each of us, by our own example, is radiating out and leads by that very example. That's just the beginning, but it is a place of teaching and education and stimulating those qualities. I like that some of the things that you were saying very much about how we're responding to these higher vibrations. And I know you agree, because we've talked about this before, and that is, it's all there. All of those qualities, all of the higher abilities, all of the higher dimensions that we reach to are there. It's just a matter of us turning the dial to that higher vibration. And this whole process of meditation and then action, love in action, as meditation, action work, specifically to anchor light in certain areas of our world, is a mechanism for grounding it and raising that dial and expanding our awareness so we can be more receptive.
You've used this word anchoring it.
Yes.
Twice. Mm. I caught that because I believe one of the things that the light workers are to do is to stabilize the new norms that are coming in. I know people are having what we call mystical experiences, kind of in and out, this one and that one, but I'm seeing this coming in as a new norm, a new way in which we are going to experience ourselves and each other on this planet. And I think that's what is actually breaking through. We talked about that a little while ago, mm-hmm. that the only reason there's ever breakdown is basically because something's breaking through.
Yes.
And I know in the work that I'm doing 15 years ago, I came to that fork in the road where I was asked, do I want to spend my energies and time trying to fix what is, or do I want to, with what's breaking down? In other words, let's make the systems better. Or do I want to work with what's breaking through? And I didn't know what that meant at that time, but I understand new patterns of energy is breaking through to totally raise all of the systems that we now have known in this third dimensional, fourth dimensional time space that we've been living in a different way. So what I'm saying to you is the way we educate will become differently. We have a lot of kids, for instance, that are being put on all kinds of drugs, mm-hmm. because they're quote, special children. And I believe these kids are coming in with more codons in their DNA. I believe they are special in a different way. They call them special, but I don't think they understand the old linear way of education. If it was a new pattern for education, I think they would be fine. If they were using color, if they were using sound, if they was using the arts, if they were using those kind of things, they would get it. But they don't fit into that. I think in religion, the same thing is happening. People are beginning to move away from more man-made, organized religions, but want to hold on to their spirituality. And I could sit here and name every system that's going on, medical or whatever. It's all in a shift. Do you see it that way, too?
Oh, I absolutely see it that way, David. And that's where the hope and the thrill for me is, because we do see that potential and we see things changing. They may be in little pockets and we may not hear it in the media, but if we just take the least bit of time to look online and see these things that are happening in all these fields and the essential fields, as you said, in education, because our youth, these amazing children coming in, are coming in, working with these new frequencies in a different capacity, and they're learning to adjust to this. And during that process, they need the support from the level of soul, from a different space than we've been thinking, from a linear space. And we need to support that psychology and those values in education. In health, we see it in doctors who have moved to this, what's called functional medicine, in which they're looking at the whole and they're looking at the way that the blood and the DNA and the various systems within the body are communicating, rather than the reductionism of trying to treat like pieces of a clock.
Yes.
And then wondering why it doesn't all work together.
The old Newtonian.
Yes. Yes. Well, the issue is, as we both know, and so many people understand, is we haven't not only not moved from Newtonian physics, but we haven't even gotten beyond Einsteinian physics.
Yes.
Because our physics has gone so far beyond that, and it's well known within the scientific cosmological communities, but it isn't translated to the rest of the population. And we need to educate in that from the ground up when our kids start school, even before they start school, to age two. Prenatal and age two, there's things we can do. There's so much out there. There's so much hope. There's so much amazing stuff coming in.
Absolutely. And I do want to make it very clear to our listeners that it is important what happens from the time of conception. We know that from conception to the age of five, for instance, is when we develop our first, what we call energy center, our root center, or as the Eastern people call it, a chakra. But it and all of that is our base root issues and subjects that begins to affect our whole human experience. And when you were kind of giving that call that there's so much out there to do, I just imagine all the people that listen to things like this broadcast or read books, and they go, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do anything. I don't have this kind of talent. And I want to encourage people who are listening to us that they can tap in to what I call the soul purpose. If you're listening and you're in a physical body living in this on this planet, you got a purpose of being here. And that purpose is needs to be known now as we begin to do this. So when you were talking, I was thinking, oh my goodness, how we could. I know here at Unity of Charlotte, where we're speaking, that we rent to a school, not a regular school. But I just observe how they're teaching the kids is so different. And people come from miles, a long way, to bring their children to this school because they don't fit into the regular system. And I'm thinking all the things that could be done, even preschool age, in the sense of helping our children to adjust into the normalization of a whole new age that we're moving into. So I encourage people to get on the internet, meditate, and use their intuition and guidance. There's something for all of us to do. We were talking about education a while ago, and we were talking about leadership. You're part of a leadership. And I think it's a new leadership. I don't think it's the old ego system of I'm a leader and I have power over you, but I think I'm a leader to the power that's in you.
That's why it's called cooperative leadership, which is the key phrase for the Aquarian age, is cohesion, cooperation. I wanted to extend a point you were making, too, and that was about finding our purpose. So often people feel that if it's not some big thing, if you can't make some key impact, that you're not having any significant purpose. But it's really very simple. You find within your heart what touches you, and you radiate those qualities, and you are finding your purpose, because what you radiate uplifts everything that touches within your sphere. So I want all of the listening public here to understand that you don't have to be involved, although we would like you to, if that's what your calling is, in big ways. Start with yourself and radiate those divine qualities of compassion and sharing and tolerance and loving, caring, acceptance.
That is such great advice, and I hope that our listeners take that. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Don't go away. We have more to tell you and more that can help you maybe to find your place at this time if you're kind of looking for that. But we'll be right back.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.somaenergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on science, sound, and spirituality with David Hulse.
Welcome back to Sound, Spirituality, and Science. I'm David Hulse. I'm your host today, and we are here in the studio with Barbara Rolfe right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, coming live to you today. Barbara has really been blessing us with so many insights, and not just insights that come out of her head and knowledge and because of classes she's taken and books, but because it's in the passion of her soul. And I think that makes all the difference in the world. And I hope that that passion of your soul connects to the passion of souls that are listening to us on this podcast today, because people need to get fired up. They need to have their fire activated in their solar plex, and that is the fire to action. And this is the time for us to step up. So we've talked about a lot of wonderful things, but I know you just came from Washington, D.C. What an interesting place to have this conference right now with what's going on in the political world. It's just kind of crazy out there, but I embrace it as a part of the plan somehow in the bigger picture. I know it looks really crazy right now what's going on, but I think something that is happening beyond what we really can see or understand with our own personal human five senses, and I think that something is taking place in the sense of that. But I thought it was interesting that you'd have the conference in Washington, D.C., and what you felt, if you have any connection at all, with maybe what's happening on a level of consciousness and spirituality with what's going on in our government and in the political scene.
Well, I'd like to back up just a little bit and tell kind of a personal journey. I was taking care of my dad for a lot of years, and he passed away last year. And so I sat meditation, and I opened myself to receptivity, asking, where do I go from here? How do I serve outwardly in the world? Yes, I've been doing all the subjective stuff, and that continues, and it's exceedingly important. But what am I to do now? And I kept going back to causal. What's going on in the world? We have so much seeming darkness and chaos. It can be very dispiriting for people. People can often feel a sense of hopelessness, but where do we go causally to solve some of these issues of humanity? And the more I contemplated it, the more I realized that really, through the political systems in each of the nations of the world, and the economic systems, that's where the power was. That was where our efforts to create change and shifts had to be focused, because we could spin our wheels at the lower levels and maybe make little steps. But if we wanted to get to a broader base and make a greater potential for shift, we needed to go into those systems that had the power to do so. So that brought me into the political arena, an arena which I never thought I would get back involved in, because I had done that as a teenager and a young adult, and I thought, oh, this is just way too depressing. I don't ever want to do this again. But Spirit had another plan. Don't we all know how that happens?
Yes, we do.
So what we find is that we have such polarization, not just in this country, but I think in every political system in the world. There are certain areas, and in particularly in Scandinavian countries, where they're really making some shifts, trying to come up with like a minimum wage that is being given outright to each person in that country as a set. So no one lives in poverty. Everybody has basic needs met, and people expand. So there are changes that are examples in the world. But we have to look at the most difficult systems where we see the biggest breakdown. And what do we do in that? One of the ways foremost that I feel is important for us to do is what we call action meditations. And we have groups that are forming, that are formed, that have been working together for years. And they direct the focus after doing this higher alignment and acting as that channel to focus it into certain centers. Because each nation has a head center, a heart center, a throat center in which communication is actuated and the truth is expressed. So every nation has a soul. Every nation has these aspects of heart, mind, and throat expression of truth. So if we focus that divine light into these, we help stimulate those centers and create that vibratory rate that increases and becomes more active and vital. And it radiates in a broader spectrum, creating this magnetic field of a new pattern, as you were saying, of this higher vibration. And it's these new patterns that are magnetized that are allowing the new civilization on Earth to be created. That's step one. And that is an essential that we can do just by thinking about. When we learn these action meditations and we connect with those alignment, all we have to do is think about that during the day, and we reactivate those centers, those touchstones of a vital, living, high-frequency light of the highest values of the divine circulating throughout our nation. And what's really phenomenal is these patterns of meditation, this approach, can be adapted for any nation in the world, any nation in the world, and any form of invocative meditation. It can be used. So you don't have to have your alignment set. Well, I have to do this form. Take the form that you're using, and then take the alignment, the set alignment in each nation, and focus that. We have elections coming up. It is really, really important I think, to bring this light into those centers and magnetize the whole nation so that, every one of our population, every human being within our nation of goodwill that is dealing with these polarizations that is tearing us apart, can bring this light in and be receptive at whatever level they can and then act on it. I see that as a mechanism in which we can raise. We can also talk with our representatives. I didn't know that we could do this. I thought, oh, what do I know? I can't talk to my representative. And yet I learned through a group that I got active in called Results that we really can shift even the most conservative of our representatives if we can come from the heart and find that spark in them on an issue that we can show them that just by this little change, supporting this one thing, they can make a huge difference. And little by little, through letters and phone calls and writing letters to the editor in our media, we're bringing these issues to light so that they're not hidden so much.
I know you just was sharing with me not too long ago, it was just a few weeks ago or so, I don't remember how long, that you had been involved in something here in Charlotte or North Carolina, that there was some results on that. Can you share that?
Sure, absolutely. In fact, I shared it with a letter to the editor, my most recent acceptance. And believe me, the idea that anything that I would write would get accepted in the Charlotte Observer was just a totally foreign idea. But we jump off these precipices, and the spiritual warrior is the one who says, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to do it anyway, mm-hmm. and we'll see what happens. But yes, Representative Robert Pittenger, who is our congressman for the district that I live in, as we know, is a conservative congressman. And he is very, very focused on budget and not spending money and defunding, you know, as so many of the conservative approach with a concern for budget, have defunded a lot of very essential programs to the least able to sustain themselves in our society. However, we have approached him as a group because Results is a national and is now internationally groups are forming to help shift political will through the heart. And solve the causes of poverty, education, health, and economic opportunity. So in discussion with him, in explaining what happens and the necessity for maternal and child health with brain function and social adaptability under very stressful condition, all the needs there and vaccinations, he has co-sponsored with a very bipartisan action in our House and with Representative Burr in our Senate to support robust funding in letters to President Obama for vaccinations around the world of children for preventative diseases and prevent death that is completely preventable.
Yeah.
For maternal and child health efforts and to make it more effective and efficient. So we make strides. They're little steps, but we shouldn't be afraid to talk to people with opposing views, because when we come from the heart, we can find the heart in the other. And so that true. Is where our shifts happen.
I love that. We just come from the heart of each other, we can find a place that a shift can happen. That is great. Well, why wouldn't you tell that story? Is to give hope to people that if you get involved and you do something, you can make a change. We hear a lot of complaining. You're talking about the Scandinavian countries and all of that and how they do a little bit better in some areas than we do. And I really think because they represent more of the model of cooperation rather than competition. And I really feel under our system today, there's too much competition. And with competition, there's always going to be someone wanting to have power over you, or you need to make them be who they are. And I think what's happening today as people are finding out more and more who they are, and I do think that's happening. I know we don't get that good news It doesn't come through CNN and it doesn't come through the media. But I think there's good news out there. And I think there are things that is happening. You know, Margaret Mead said that the world will be changed and transformed by just small groups of people meeting all over the world. She said that's always the way it's always been, is just in small groups. So if someone's listening here and saying, I don't know what to do, maybe you just have some friends over and start a group in your house and start talking and discussing things that are you're concerned about in your community and writing a letter to a senator or to a representative of some kind. I think we do too much complaining about what is wrong and no action. We're back to action again, but this is the time of total action. So back to Washington, D.C. I had heard that Washington, D.C. was laid out in a way in which there was a plan as to how that would be laid out. Are you familiar with that subject?
I am. Yeah. In fact, that was one of the wonderful things we were able as a group to experience. And that was, we took a Masonic tour. And the tour was led by a 33rd degree Mason. And I'm talking about Masonry from its spiritual sources, not as a good old boys club, but the original purposes behind Masonry, which is to bring spirit into matter, that each individual has the right to express their highest nature, and everyone has that equality of participation in our government. It was very interesting on this tour to learn the way that our nation's capital was set up, designed. It was based on certain geometry, which is really the design of God's plan. It's all geometry. It's really all mathematics.
They say geometrics. Math is the language of
yes.
the universe.
Absolutely. And when you see the connections and the geometric shapes and the reasoning behind of bringing spirit into matter and uplifting humanity and the ability to participate in this great experiment of the United States. There has never been such an experiment, and we're very young. You know, our sole purpose is to bring the light. That is the purpose of this nation, and it's a very high purpose, and we're like teenagers in our evolution as a nation. So we're learning, but the whole premise of how this nation was set up and created and the design of D.C. was to bring that purpose to light in this nation. So the fact that we have all of this extremism and polarization is because so much is being brought to the light. And there's this struggle of those who are not ready to move forward into that new pattern. And they hold very tightly to what they feel is the right way. They feel that this is the way to get it done. Unfortunately, the problem with that is that we do have these new patterns incoming, and we have these new souls incoming, and we have the new shift coming for all of this planet, for all life on this planet. And we have to take the best of what is in the past, but we have to move forward.
I want to talk about this idea of it being laid out by the Masons and all mm-hmm. that, because there's a very large group of people out there who see this more from a fear-based yes. idea of a one-world government, and we're all under deception. Mm-hmm. And I like your take on it much better, because you're coming from a much more heart-centered, spiritual, positive idea. I think people don't understand sometimes that a lot of things, such as Masons and other groups and institutions, whatever, really had a purpose in the beginning. I do think that later, as we moved, as you said, into our adolescent national experience, that we have let greed. You know, that's what happens when you're a teenager. It's all about me, 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 me. So we kind of live in that kind of a country where it's about me getting richer, me, what car I'm driving, all that. But I think that we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I'll give you another example from my point of view, as coming from a more spiritual or religious background, is that I think there was a time that certain information should have been kept away from the public because the public was not in a state of consciousness to have the power of that knowledge. So there were institutions that held that knowledge back. But as greed went on, they liked being over people who didn't have that knowledge, and they never released the knowledge. Although we're living in the time of the age of information, where those things which have been in secret are now being shouted from the housetops, as it says, and revealed to us through the internet, especially, is one of the great things to do. So I'm just trying to say that a lot of things that people get into conspiracy theorist thinking about and get fearful about all these things, that I think we need to realize that where we're coming from as light workers is from the more fundamental spiritual principles in which these things were built on. Do you agree with that?
I do agree. There was a definite separation in opinion among the founding fathers, particularly with the when you consider the whole Continental Congress. And there was a very large effort within certain groups. I think one of the Adams, in fact, was very anti-Mason. They were looking at Masonry from the standpoint that you talked about somehow they were a great evil that was trying to take over the will, the personal will, where in actuality, what they stood for was for the development of the divine self, and that true freedom really is in that standing in that spiritual being and moving forward from that. And you didn't have to be the wealthy to do it. There was this great distrust that if we gave the vote to those who were of diverse occupations, that they wouldn't have the intelligence. So the Masons wanted everybody to have the knowledge. Granted, within certain ceremonies, that was kept secret for the same reason mm-hmm. you talked about. But the basic idea of everyone receiving knowledge and education and having the ability to have a positive effect from knowledge in their vote, in their vocation, and what they were doing in this nation so they could participate, mm-hmm. so they would not be excluded because of that lack, was behind their motivation. I've read things online that somehow the Pope, Pope Francis, is the Antichrist. And I heard a beautiful answer from the head of the Center for Visionary Leadership. And he said, you will know the answer to that by their actions and their deeds and the results. And we know if someone is advocating, tending to the poor, if they are advocating going back to the principles of the divine and the lessons of Jesus, of the Christ, or of whatever spiritual guide in your religion teaches you these higher values, how we treat each other, then that is the expression of the highest good and not evil.
Yes, very well put. I so agree that we spend our time arguing and debating over issues that is not at all within the principles of what was taught by our spiritual avatars and leaders. And that was to take care of the poor and to do this. And we spend our time, you know, arguing over I'm not saying it's not important issues, but issues that if we don't have a foundation for them, it's not going to matter anyway. And so I think that's very, very well put. I certainly don't agree with a lot of the views of the Pope. Many I do, but that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the heart of it. And what I see from the heart of it is trying to unite and trying to bring together and trying to help those who cannot help themselves. And that, to me, is the fruit of the Spirit. That is the things that we look at in those things. Barbara, we are so glad to have you today. Thank you so much for spending. I know we just talked about for 30 minutes, but you were a trooper, and I just wanted to keep going and hear more. We're so glad to have you. Do you have a website or something if people want to find you?
I do not.
You don't?
I do not.
Well, you should get one. I think you should get one. Well, we're glad for all of you who joined us on today's podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at somaenergetics.com. You can just do David at somaenergetics.com if you'd like. And if you'd like to get on our website and see all the wonderful things that we do in teaching and empowering people through sound and vibration, you can go to www.somaenergetics.com. SomaEnergetics.com. So until our next podcast, blessings to all of you, and thank you for listening.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.